was talking to Jeff Longman last week, and he was saying how he foresees Shatley initially earning the job just because experience would win in that situation. And once Fortner's there, he's never coming back out.
Welcome to Jaguars Reporters, presented by TIAA Bank, with Brian Sexton, John Osher, Ashlyn Sullivan, and J.P. Shadrick.
Jaguars Reporters,
presented by TIAA Bank, starts right now.
Welcome in, Jaguars Reporters Podcast. It is Monday, May 9th. Ashlyn Sullivan, Brian Sexton, and John Osher here with you, J.P. Shadrick, on a much-earned vacation this week.
Really? Did he really earn it?
I think he did.
Probably did.
When J.P.'s on vacation, how does he know?
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a great
one. Try to pat the guy on the back, and you guys nail him down.
Do you know I'm going to steal that line and use it as often as possible? That's outstanding.
He's going to listen to this on the way back home and be upset.
He's heard me asking that a million times.
I'm sure he
will
has.
Laugh.
It's sort of one of my bad go-to jokes.
Yeah, you have a couple of those.
And you can be sure that he will grab that line and use it where he can, too.
Yes, he will. So it's a slow week, kind of turned into a busy week at the end of the week. Rookie minicamp is this weekend. We're still waiting to hear what that entails. It is definitely changed since the Dante Fowler injury and how we cover rookie minicamp.
Right.
But the good news is that the Jaguars draft picks will come to Jacksonville this week and get settled and know where the bathrooms are in the cafeteria. It's kind of the first step. And then we have schedule release this Thursday. That's always exciting. And the London announcement last week. So slow, but yet got stuff going on this week.
Well, rookie minicamp certainly has changed for the smarter.
Yeah.
Around the NFL, and we kind of use the Dante Fowler ACL as our flashpoint because it changed for this franchise after that. But overall, teams have figured out that, A, putting a rookie on and having him do one-on-one pass rush 2 days after he arrives or sometimes the day he arrives after training for non-football stuff, after not doing anything, and 5 months away from the regular season, however long we are, four, is silly.
Well,
and teams don't do it anymore, so now it's an orientation.
It's funny that we didn't consider it beforehand, right? I mean, these guys,
football!
Well, yeah, these guys, they play in a full college season, right? Mm-hmm. And then immediately get into the training aspect of preparing, as John said, for non-football specific things like the 40-yard dash, the three-cone drill. I mean, they are working for these tests that they take. And people go, well, I mean, it's football skills. Yeah, but it's different. And I remember standing there when Dante hit the ground, and I didn't know it was Dante at first. And I turned to Dan Edwards and said, was that the first round pick? And Dan went, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just so deflating for the franchise and for the coaching staff to not have, you know, this premier player, this pass rusher that they had needed. And he was gone. So they're smart about it now, and they're just trying, John said, orientation. They show them what the locker room is. They get them into kind of a meeting schedule so that when they show up here for training camp, they kind of understand the flow of how it's supposed to go.
Yeah, it's something that's needed, and it's kind of a process to get them in the building, but totally different than what it was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, completely.
And I know John is okay with that because we won't be on the field for 4 days.
Well, I think we'll be on the field on Friday, I think. So, sure.
Just one day. Yeah. You're okay with that.
That's fine.
Then we have schedule release this Thursday. We know the Cowboys, Ravens, and Giants will be home games along, of course, with the division. And we know that the Jaguars will play the Broncos in London. And head coach Doug Peterson was actually on Good Morning Football when that announcement came out, saying London was one of the first things he checked off the list.
One of my first meetings really was with our London team and meeting all the folks that are involved with the trip. And so we have our plan in place and we're ready for the trip and obviously the game October 30th. And so, you know, it's something you do have to spend some time and think about the travel and getting all your guys and gear and equipment and the technology over there, as an organization and you got to do it early. And so we've done that. We put our plan in place and we're just kind of waiting on the week to get here.
All right, Brian, what do we think about that matchup?
Well, it's Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
I mean, Denver had talent, but they had no quarterback, right? They have some pieces on defense that are very, very talented, and we saw them last year, but they didn't have a quarterback, which is why the Jaguars, I think, were able to stay with him for a while. Russell Wilson in London is a marquee matchup. I mean, Trevor Lawrence, who we all anticipate taking a step forward, and Russell Wilson, who's in a new place. I think it becomes a game that a lot of people around the league are going to want to watch.
Yeah, there was some chatter at the owners' meetings, and probably since, I just haven't heard it since, that a Denver did want to play overseas this year, and there was talk that it was going to be this game because of their sales situation. Something to do with that, they wanted to be over there and I'd be in that profile. It had gotten down, when you looked at the schedule logically, that it was going to be one of a couple of games. They probably were not going to put the Dallas game there. They had already done that 8 years ago. Yep. So you would have thought that they were not going to put the Cowboys, you know, they were going to get the Cowboys in this stadium at some point, since they had not gotten them in there in, what, 2014? In
2006 was the last time they were here, I think.
Right, and then they were in London in 2014 in one of the early London debacle games, or debacle, is it worse, London?
It was awful.
It'll be a good matchup, and it'll be a matter of if the Jaguars are – I assume the Broncos are going to be good with Russell Wilson. Are the Jaguars operating yet at an efficiency level to play with better teams? That'll be the storyline early.
Yeah, you know, the talk on Russell Wilson is legit, obviously, but they've got – I mean, Jerry Jeudy is an explosive receiver, and now he's got a quarterback who can really take advantage of his skills.
Feel a lot better about the Broncos all of a sudden.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, the Broncos go – well, let's put it this way. The AFC West was always going to be really good. Now I can't recall a division with as much hype around it at any point in my 30 years covering this league. I mean, all four teams have legitimate claims. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if you consider David Carr to be a premier quarterback, and he certainly has the potential to be really good, especially now that he's got the wide receiver, Devontae Adams. I mean, anything in the AFC West is much washed football, and it was a great move by Denver to go and bring him in.
And Derek Carr is not bad either.
No. Did I say David?
Yeah. Same thing.
That happens from time to time.
I do it all the time. And yeah. As far as the Broncos, anytime you can roll Rob Lytle and Haven Moses out there, you're in good shape.
This game will be Halloween weekend. And notable that this will be the Jaguars' ninth time in London, and this is the first time the Broncos will play in London. And I was on a podcast with the Broncos reporter, and she's like, tell me about it. I mean, how is this going to work? And yes, it's Russell Wilson, but that's an incredible advantage for the Jaguars that they have done this way more times than the Broncos have.
It should be. I mean, it's
supposed to be.
It's certainly a logistical advantage. With the turnover of the roster and the turnover of the coaching staff, I think there is a little bit of a catch-up that the staff will have to do, and some of the players will have to do to get ready for it. I believe London is an advantage for a team and a roster if about 75% of the people have been over there already. But certainly the logistics team of the Jaguars – gives this team an advantage in terms of getting over there and knowing how to do it in terms of the body. I do think, generally speaking, this franchise has figured out how to be at their physical best and their mental best once they're on that field.
The issue, though, going forward is that there are so many international games now. They're playing in multiple cities and multiple countries, obviously. You'd say that about a team, as John mentioned, that hasn't been over there, doesn't have a lot of people with the experience. But now it looks like every team's going to play overseas, every 2 or 3 years.
Right.
And so that starts to diminish.
For sure.
Somewhat.
Yeah, I mean, you had the Jaguars, which were known as London's team, basically. But in 5 years, is that the same thing when you have so many teams now that are playing there?
No.
I think it loses its appeal, for sure.
Not as much, but if the Jaguars continue being Wembley's team,
right?
I think there will be a little bit of a comfort and a little bit of a connection. Will it play out to, I mean, I thought there were 2 or 3 years there when they beat the Bills over there,
and
they beat the Ravens, where it felt like it was turning in, especially the Ravens game.
Yeah.
It felt like the Ravens had no desire to be there in 2017.
They looked flat-footed that day.
And the Jaguars were ready because they knew London. Since then, but it's also the old thing. The Jaguars haven't had a great home field advantage for 10 years. You know why? Because they've been bad.
Right.
So that hurts when you're trying to get an advantage with something.
I'm not sure how interested people are in this, so I won't go deep in it. But you mentioned Wembley. The league has that partnership with Tottenham where they played last year. And going back to Wembley, this is the Jaguars game. I mean, they have a much greater financial gain, or the potential for more financial gain, because they are taking on all the risk of this and they are putting the game together. So just going back to Wembley is not, oh, they liked Wembley. It's, this is a great opportunity for a franchise that has a lot of projects going on, as you understand, and soon a building project here, to have what has always been a big check, be even bigger, create mm-hmm. even more opportunity for this franchise to succeed financially. So it's an important game this year.
It is. It's cool to play out when you have game production meetings and everything that goes into it. And it's crazy to think how you can possibly do that from oceans away and still make it work.
Technology.
Yeah, and what people are talking about is that the logistical team of the Jaguars that usually focuses on TIA Bank Field is doing a lot of the logistics of that game. I think, as you said, Brian, fans listen to this, I think, of the team on the field. But those people in this event this year are doing a dramatic amount of more work than they have in the past.
And it's important. And we, you know, being the small market that we are and having the challenges that we've had, people understand that this team needs to do well at the box office to compete with those big franchises in the big markets that make exponential more dollars off things like naming rights.
Right.
So this is an opportunity for this franchise to eat up some of the distance between them and the other franchises and to put cash in the pocket that is used to pay for big player contracts.
Exactly. Speaking of box office, the Jaguars are future-focused and ready for a new look in 2022. Join us at the bank this season as head coach Doug Peterson and quarterback Trevor Lawrence lead the charge. To lock in your seats, visit jaguars.com/tickets or call 904-633-2000. John Osier, you had Luke Fortner on your Ozone podcast. Do tell, how did it go?
I didn't. I think you guys have seen enough or talked to enough. Shlin, I know you did an interview with him right after the draft. He's a great interview. Mm-hmm. He's a fascinating kid. He has two or three degrees. He has an undergrad engineering degree, a master's in some sort of engineering that I don't know what it means, aerospace. And I was going to ask him what that meant, but I know he wouldn't understand.
Yeah, so don't go there.
And then he has an MBA. Or is getting an MBA. So I naturally asked him at the top. I said, look, Luke, you were in college for 6 years, and you got nothing to fall back on. So, I mean,
what a waste of time.
What and an intelligent kid. He's the first draft pick that I had talked to extensively at all, but I've been on Zoom interviews and in that world with all of them. They all seem like guys that it made sense why they drafted them in terms of their intelligence level, their passion for football. I mean, this kid obviously has a passion for football. He wouldn't be playing. He interned at NASA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got some opportunities that, Brian, you and I never had.
NASA.
So
called you?
No.
You know, they called and I missed the call. So
I hate when that happens.
It was one of those.
They don't have my number.
It said potential spam on it. And I said, well, you know. But it's clear there was a trend with this draft class of guys who are high level intelligence, high level character. It makes sense when you are building like they are and trying to get the organization going in a direction under Doug Peterson. I like the kid. We'll see if he can play.
I was on the airplane coming back from Vegas when they drafted him, so I wasn't part of that Zoom call. For you to say those things, right? The 3 degrees, the NASA internship. It makes me think this kid can win the starting job as a rookie.
At some point, I'm going to pull him aside and say, what are you doing?
Right. No! He's taking the capital.
This
to
is a
fund
hard game.
Yeah.
This is a hard game. You get hurt out there.
Yeah, well, I mean, if I'm thinking, let's see, okay, I have an MBA. I need the capital to fund my own aerospace company. I'm going to do, you know, what is Musk's, Elon Musk?
You lost me.
What?
Tesla.
I know Tesla. What's the name of his? The SpaceX.
Twitter.
SpaceX. No, Joe help. SpaceX. Yeah, Twitter's another one. SpaceX, right? Going to fund his own SpaceX.
Doesn't he own crypto?
He might own all of it. But you get the point. I mean, this is a guy who's going to get the most out of football and then get the most out of life. So good for him. And, you know, you've got a new coach coming in, a new scheme. Tyler Shatley's obviously got an 8-year head start on him in terms of being a professional football player. But, I mean, they drafted this kid to start. If he's that smart, maybe he'll pick it up quick.
Yeah, and I don't want to overemphasize. I mean, it's sort of an easy. He has 3 degrees, so you
no,
talk
it's
about
very
that.
Very easy to latch on to, yeah.
So he was drafted number 65 overall, which as an interior lineman means you're being drafted as a long term starter who's going to be good and a potential Pro Bowl. I mean, it's a premium position for that, and he's an incredibly tough kid. I think a lot of people have heard the story against Florida. Kentucky beat Florida last year, Shlin. I don't know if you remember that.
I'm aware. Yes.
He he cut his eye and played with stitches. And he tells the story during the podcast, and he's told it before, of the first trainer came out and looked at his eye after he had hurt it. And he said, it was just blurry. I figured I'd gotten poked in the eye. And he said, the trainer came out and went, ooh.
Never a good sign.
And he said, the doctor came out after that and went, ooh. And he kind of joked after, he said, you don't love hearing the trainer go, ooh. No. You don't like those people being surprised at what they see when they come out. But he was fine. He had stitches in, but he played through it. Point being, he is this is not a bookworm playing center. He's a tough kid who belongs here, and I'm looking forward to watching him.
Yeah, I was talking to Jeff Loggeman last week during happy hour, and he was saying how he foresees Shatley initially earning the job just because experience would win in that situation. And possibly Fortner working his way in. And once Fortner's there, he's never coming back out.
Yeah, that's often with non-first-round picks, with that second, third, fourth round as rookies, particularly at a position as important as center. You want to make sure that player grasps the offense and isn't hurting others around him when he first gets into the lineup. But he did a lot. He didn't really brag on himself during the podcast, which is fine. But you could tell in some of his conversations, he did a lot of calling the offense at Kentucky, being able to see the blitzes and helping the quarterback. That's the responsibility of the center. Supposedly, he's off the charts good at that. I expect him to make up ground in that area really quickly.
And I think I've said this, but I talked to a guy, a scout, who told me that Kentucky's blocking scheme was very complex. Mm-hmm. So if he was that quarterback and was calling that stuff out, it gives them that leg up again to be able to pick this up and go. I mean, it sounds like the kid's going to be what they think he is.
Absolutely.
Which is a long-term starter at center.
Yeah, I didn't ask him this, but I'm sure he would have said, well, I was there 6 years. I probably should have picked it up at some point. But he's a funny kid. I mean, it was when you see interviews with him, people should pay attention because he's an engaging character, and not all rookies are comfortable in that situation. Yeah. It's fun to talk to him.
And it's worth pointing out, you mentioned he was picked 65. You know, Brad Meester was picked in 2000 at the end of the second round, so somewhere in that range. I forget exactly. And Brandon Linder. You know, so you're looking at the last two guys who played center. He was like 90 or 93, right? This is where you find high-quality, long-term interior offensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
A very boring Brad Meester story when he was first picked. That was my last draft covering the Jaguars for the TU before I left for Indy. And I asked Tom Coughlin if he could talk about the second-round pick Moost.
Oh, no.
And Tom looked at me like I was from – had no idea. Yeah. And then I paused. Oh, Meester. So I first called Brad Meester Moost. So
it happens to the best of us. It's okay.
And it happens to me, too.
And of all people, Brad would have laughed about it.
Great guy.
A couple more minutes for you on the Jaguars Reporters podcast. Like we said, the schedule release is this Thursday. Always exciting to write it in your planner in different colored pens. That's what I look forward to and get to plan this season. Like we said, the home schedule, Cowboys, Ravens, Giants, along with the division, of course. Which of those games stands out to you guys?
Wait a minute.
Don't go back to the planner. It was
you
just a note.
You actually write the teams in different colored pens in the planner?
I do.
The time you have for these things.
I like to be organized, I like to have it as a hard copy, a calendar on an electronic device.
Is there a specific color per team? Do you get obsessed?
I have a pen pack that has 16 colors, so I have a color for each.
The close one. She's a soft A. She's a soft type A personality. She's not that hard
I have a black pen. And if I don't have that one, I use my blue pen.
So answer her question. She's getting frustrated with you.
Am I excited about anything?
No, you're not excited. What game of those home schedules stands out?
Probably Dallas, because they haven't been here in forever, and that's always an exciting game. It's so hard to get worked up about the schedule this early because you don't know when the games are going to be.
Right. I'm who's going to be healthy.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, it would be fun if a Dallas came in here in November with something to play for. You know, revenge isn't really a big thing in the NFL. The main thing I remember about the Cowboys in the last X number of years was that was the game out there in 2018 when you knew what they had built was in a lot of trouble.
Yes.
Because they got rolled 40-8.
Oh. That was an ugly day.
Awful.
They had lost to Kansas City the week before, and you thought, okay, well, maybe that was a little bit of a rebound, and they came out and
got steamrolled
against Dallas, and they couldn't compete.
Yeah.
And you went, something's wrong here.
Yeah.
So there's probably five players left who were on that team, so that won't affect anything. That's what I remember about the Cowboys. But when Dallas comes to town, I'm always a big believer that the home team is what matters in an NFL stadium. That's why I would go to games. But there are fans who like to see the opponent and give it the energy. When Dallas comes to town, it'll be – it's one of those games you'll remember.
There'll be a lot of Cowboys fans here.
Oh, yeah.
A lot. I'm looking forward to the Ravens game. And not just because it's, you know, Lamar Jackson, who's a premier quarterback. They draft really well. I mean, they've got a really good roster. And when the Jaguars last were on the field with them in the 2020 season, it was ugly. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how much they've grown, how much better they've gotten from the end of 2020, I think it was a December game, to whenever they're here this year. Mm-hmm. And the Ravens are one of those barometer teams in the AFC. I know we're all focused on the West this year, but they have a quarterback who is incredibly challenging to match up with. They've got always seemingly, John, as good an offensive line as you find in the NFL. And then that Ravens defense has just been their personality since those great Ravens teams 20 years ago.
You know how excited I am about the Ravens game?
Oh, boy.
I have it written in my planner in taupe.
Taupe, not
so
purple.
I am wired for that.
Because he has a purple pen and a taupe pen because okay. He needs options.
I really do.
That's enough with the planner talk. We're over it.
Well, we should just point out that you are somebody, and it's interesting, someone who is in her mid to late 20s, who writes things out. I mean, things out, and my sons say to me, Dad, you have
use
a phone.
Use your iPhone,
yeah.
Dad.
Don't you use dictation. Just, you know, put it in the notes and go. No, I like to write things out. John writes things out.
Yeah.
You write things out.
Yeah.
In taupe.
You just do it with a little bit.
And lime. And turquoise.
You have a little glitter that you sprinkle on just to kind of pop it
for
out?
For big weeks. Yeah. Like the London game, we'll have some glitter tones to it. To really
what was the deal with white crayons? I never got that.
Oh, you used it on like green or purple paper.
To color your Game of Thrones coloring book.
I don't know what you're talking about.
There was a lot of snow in Game of Thrones.
I'm aware.
A white crayon. I never got.
Okay.
Paper is already white.
The look she's giving you right now, it's too bad that this podcast is not on any visual medium because the look...
Shalyn has a healthy dislike.
I just think Sherry would really
she understands.
She'd appreciate that look and she'd try to mimic it.
She would relate to it.
And that is the Jaguars Reporters Podcast. Schedule release this Thursday. Rookie minicamp this weekend. Lots going on. Stay with us on Jaguars.com. We will get back to you next Monday.